Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
You're listening to Retaking Elysium, a Mars Consortium story, written and read by M. Darusha Wame. Chapter 7. After their first night on Mars, Jules didn't expect to see Hassan again. He'd left on the next shuttle run, and Jules figured that would be it. But instead, their friendship continued the next time Hassan was in port, though they didn't sleep together again. Hassan wasn't interested in romance. His life was complicated enough without a partner. I'm on the move too much, he'd said. I feel like I have one foot on each planet, and I like it like that. Besides, I spend most of my life zonked out on a shuttle. It's months between when I take off and land. I don't want to change my life for someone else, and it's not fair to ask someone to put up with me only part-time. It's better for everyone this way. Jules agreed. They hadn't been looking for a boyfriend. It had just been one of those one-time things. Jules was no stranger to one-time things. And between the novelty of being somewhere so completely different, and the heady intoxication of a friendly and beautiful face in a literally alien environment, Jules taking Hassan back to their tiny bed was no surprise. But since then, the two of them often got together when Hassan was on planet. It turned out they actually liked each other, even without the novelty and the pheromones working their magic. In those first few months on Mars, Jules found the days, make that the souls, seemed to fly by. In fact, when Hassan messaged Jules to say he was back on the planet, Jules hadn't believed it. How could 8 months have gone by already? But between learning the ropes at a new job, finding their way around the colony, and meeting new people, the time just disappeared. I don't think I've even seen a single shard of platinum, Jules said, gesturing with their chopsticks as Hassan dove into his own bowl of noodles. My work is so far removed from the actual mine, it's almost like playing a holosim. There are real people down there, though, Hassan said between bites, and Jules nodded. Sure, the drones and robots can only do so much, but they do a lot, especially the more dangerous and physically demanding work. I can't imagine that this would be profitable without them. Jules picked at the floating bits of protein supplement floating in their soup. They didn't know exactly what it was, but it tasted good. I don't know if it would even be possible. There's only so much a human body can do. Hassan nodded. It's appropriate somehow that robots still live here. After all, for the longest time, they were the only things that lived here. Jules laughed. I don't think I would have put it that way, they said, but you're not wrong. They finished dinner and Hassan said, So, what's new since I was here last? It's almost like every time I have shore leave on Mars, there's a new dome up and running. Jules thought, There is a new hab dome finally, but that's not very interesting unless you're one of the people who was on the wait list for a new apartment. Then it's the most interesting thing going. Surely something fun is going on, Hassan said, eyes twinkling, besides housing upgrades. I did see something new in the E-Zone, Jules said. Come on, let's check it out. They took a few wrong turns in the large, bustling dome before Jules recognized it. The door was nearly hidden between the flashing lights of a holosports arcade and a dance bar, but the glitter of some material designed to look like cut glass finally caught their eye. Etched into the glass was the name Robinson's, spelled out in cursive script. They pulled on the bronze door handle, and the fake wood door opened to a small, dark bar. It was reminiscent of something Jules had seen in an old video, with wood paneling, small tables, candlelight, and velvet. Music played just loudly enough that you couldn't easily overhear the people at the next table, but not loudly enough to really make out the song. About half of the tables had couples or small groups at them engaged in low conversation. They found a table for two near the bar, and the tabletop menu system illuminated discreetly when they sat. I don't know what I'm looking at, Jules said after studying the scrolling list. I don't even know how to pronounce half of these things. It's a whiskey bar, Hassan said. I mean, that's most of what's on the menu anyway. He swiped his hand over the tabletop. There's other stuff, too. He tapped to flip the menu to show Jules what he was looking at. Cocktails, some wines and beers, fancy sodas. Jules recognized a few items. Do you think they bring the stuff all the way from Earth? Some of it, Hassan said, then squinted at the fine print. Looks like a lot is synthesized here, though. You want to try something? Jules nodded and let Hassan order from them both. When the drinks arrived, Jules eyed the small measure of amber liquid barely swirling at the bottom of the glass. Add just a touch of water, Hassan said and demonstrated with his own drink. Then take a little sip. It reminded Jules of dirt. Not in a particularly bad way, but it was nothing like the sweet maltiness of the beer they would have chosen. On the second sip, they caught more. A light sweetness, the astringent alcohol taste. Not bad, they finally pronounced. But I think it's an acquired taste, and I'd rather spend my extra scrip on something I already like. Fair enough, Hassan said. Then something caught his attention in the distance, and he stood. Jules turned to see a tall, fit, and quite attractive white man approach the table, a wide smile on his face. He looked vaguely familiar as he embraced Hassan and accepted a lingering kiss on the cheek. Marvin, Hassan said, this is my friend Jules. You want to join us? Hassan shot Jules an apologetic look, as if realizing that he hadn't checked to see if this was okay. Jules grinned back and nodded, then reached over to the next table for another chair. Marvin sat and said, raising an artfully groomed eyebrow, don't let me interrupt anything. You aren't, Jules said. Hassan was teaching me about whiskey, but I'm really more of a beer person. Well, you should come over to the dive bar where I work, Marvin said. We have a dozen beers on tap, not to mention pool tables and the occasional free amateur boxing match. It took Jules a moment to realize that he meant a bar fight. They laughed when they got it, and Marvin grinned. What's it called? Jules asked, pulling out their handheld for a map. The sign on the door just says bar, so we've been calling it the Mars Bar. He paused for a beat. It's pretty sweet. You are terrible, Hassan said. If the dancing doesn't pan out, you should go into comedy. That was when Jules figured out where they'd seen Marvin before. He was one of the strippers at Sequins. Well, knowing Hassan, that fit. A few weeks later, Jules was on the lift after shift with a couple of other people from the autonomous team. You checked out the casino yet? The tall, darker-skinned one asked. Nah, the other one said. Doesn't really seem like it's meant for us, you know? Screw that. No one is going to kick us out. They turned to Jules. Have you been? No, Jules said. Not really my thing. The other person snorted. That's what they want you to think. But our money spends as well as those space tourists does. Come on, let's go. Jules shot a look at the third person in the lift who made a what-can-you-do face. I've got plans, sorry, Jules said as they reached the main floor and scurried away before they could get roped into a work outing. Let me know how it goes. They got a train to the E-Zone, even though they didn't, technically, have plans. It was more of a notion, but they definitely preferred it to going all the way out to the Elysium with a pair of random coworkers. They followed their handheld's map until they saw it, the fake neon bar sign. They pushed open the door and walked into the dim room. It took a moment for their eyes to adjust, but then they saw him standing behind the bar, turning on the charm for a group of people who looked like they were also just off their work shift. Jules hung back until the crowd had passed, then walked up to the bar. It took him a moment to place their face, but then the 1,000-watt smile returned. Jules, Marvin said, reaching over to almost, but not quite, touch their arm. You made it. It seemed to me like this was the place that had what I wanted, they said. You've been listening to Retaking Elysium, a Mars Consortium story, written and read by M. Darusha Wame. For more information, visit darusha.ca. Thanks for listening.